Exciting times about if you're an American to celebrate. And tonight, I want to just talk a little bit about what we are celebrating, because we do celebrate the birth of a nation. It's a celebration of freedom. It's a celebration of God's providence on the people of the United States. But really, no celebration can be appropriate without the recognition that we cannot be celebrating, we cannot be here this evening celebrating freedom without God's hand being upon this nation. We are a nation that was founded upon the principles of God's word. Many of the founding fathers, in fact, were men that feared God. They were not all perhaps men that were godly men, but they were at least God-fearing men, people that understood that the Bible was the word of God, that they were created by God, and that we are to worship God as he is worthy to be worshiped. In fact, I'll give you a few quotes from our founding fathers. George Washington, the first president of the United States, said, "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion, to the distinguished character of patriot. It should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." George Washington, in fact, was a Baptist, just like we are tonight. A man that believed in the Bible, believed that Christianity and being a Christian was more important than being American and a patriot. Though both are important, he said there's a more distinguishing characteristic, and that's being a Christian. The first president of the United States said that. Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, said, "God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, which is a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God?" One thing that Jefferson understood was that the liberties that we have are from God. It's not from a mighty army. It's not from great inventions, though we're very thankful for men that have inventions. But it comes from God. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, said, "I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence and that he ought to be worshiped." One of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, believed in God. And then the fifth president of the United States, a man by the name of James Monroe, said, "When we view the blessings with which our country has been favored, those which we now enjoy, and the means which we possess of handing them down unimpaired to our latest posterity, our attention is irresistibly drawn to the source from whence they flow. Let us then unite in offering our most grateful acknowledgments for these blessings to the divine author of all good, the God of the Bible." Our founding fathers of this nation understood that if a nation was going to be established, it ought to be established on the truth of the Word of God. These were men that were God-fearing men, men that believed that the answer to the questions and the answer to get through difficulties and the answer of establishing a strong nation lies in the people of that nation recognizing the God of the Bible. Now, I could go on tonight with quotes and quotes and quotes about different founding fathers and the belief that they have in God and how they founded this nation on those beliefs. But instead of doing that, I want to ask this question. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I was thinking as I thought about the celebration of 4th of July, about the uniqueness of the United States of America, what it is that we celebrate tonight. The thought came to me of this. Can any nation, can any people really enjoy the blessing of freedom? Or is that something that's reserved only for the U.S. of A? Can any people, any nation on the earth enjoy these blessings? Can any people enjoy the prosperity that we have here in the United States? Or are we the only ones that are able to have that? Is it that God only likes people that are American? Or is it that God also loves those in every other nation, like Mexico and Brazil, who are playing tomorrow, or Colombia, or those that are in Europe, like England and France and Spain and Germany? Is it that God only likes the U.S. and only wants to prosper the U.S.? Or can any nation do that? Well, I think in Psalms chapter 33, we find the answer to those questions. So if you open your Bibles, look in Psalm chapter 33. We're not really certain who wrote this psalm. We don't know if David was the one that wrote this psalm or maybe someone else, another king. But we know, though we're not certain about the author of the psalm, we are very certain about the truth that the psalmist talks about. We're very certain about what he explains to us and what the truth that he shares with us in this passage. There's 22 verses here in this psalm, and there are 22 verses that really remind us of what makes a great nation. What really makes a people a great people, and how it is that a people can become a nation that God can bless. I want you to notice, first of all, in the first few verses, that the psalmist talks about the worthiness of God. Notice it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." I want you to notice the first three verses talk about how worthy God is. The reason that we celebrate 4th of July every year here in Bethany Baptist Church is because we recognize, as we celebrate the birth of our nation, that we ought to celebrate by, first of all, praising the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the psalmist said, listen, the first thing we ought to do is rejoice in the Lord. Sing unto him. Give him praise because he is worthy of praise. But then you'll notice that the psalm doesn't only talk about the worthiness of God, but then he talks about the word of God. Verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord is upright, and all his works are done in truth." Verse 5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." The psalmist now focuses on the word of God and the power that is there. He says, do you understand that it is by the word of God that our world was created? It is by the word of God that the stars in the heavens were created and our universe came into existence. It wasn't by some big bang. It wasn't by some process of evolution. No, we came into existence today because there was a God that spoke us into existence. There was a God that created us today, and he is worthy to be praised, and his word is worthy to be read and to be followed and to obey. In fact, the Bible says about the power of God that he spoke and it came to pass. He commanded and it stood fast. It's incredible, the power of the word of God. The psalmist focuses not only on the worthiness of God, but the word of God, the importance it ought to have and the power that it should have in our life. But then he'll move on to what I really want to focus on in this chapter, and that is the work of God. Not only his worthiness, not only his word, but the work of God. The work of God, it says there in verse 10, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." And then look at verse 12. He says, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." I want you to notice tonight that God's work here in the psalm, God's work is explained or communicated in one of two ways. He says there's a curse for those that reject the word of God and reject God as being worthy. But then there's blessings for those that receive God, that will worship and praise God as he is worthy to be praised, that will accept the word of God as the powerful and very word that God has given us, as that foundation for a nation. You see, he says there in verse 12, "Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." You'll notice there it doesn't say, "Blessed is the United States." It doesn't say, "Blessed is Mexico." It doesn't say, "Blessed is Canada or Spain." It just says, "Blessed is the nation." That is any nation whose God is the Lord. The question tonight, can any nation be blessed? Absolutely. But how is that? How is a nation blessed? How do the blessings of God come? Or how does the cursing of God come? Why is it there are nations today that don't have the prosperity that we have, that don't enjoy the blessings that we have in America? Why is that? I'll tell you, because many of those nations have never had leaders like our leaders. Many of them were not founded upon the principles of God's word. In fact, I believe the only nation that really we can look back in history and that has somewhat of an equivalency of the founding of the United States would be the nation of Israel. No other nation really was founded upon the truth of God like Israel. Israel was given the law of God very early on. And upon that law, the nation of Israel was built. But there came a time in the history of the nation of Israel where they began to reject what God had given them. And because of that, they lost the blessings of God. And instead of the blessings came the cursings of God. You say, well, what are some of those cursings that come on a nation that has rejected God? Well, look at verse number 10. It says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Let me tell you, the first thing that comes to a nation that rejects God is that there is no counsel. There's only confusion. Look at any nation that has rejected him and you'll see that there's a nation there that is confused. They're confused about where we come from. They're confused about what the purpose of life is. They're confused as what to educate their children. Because instead of looking to God as the foundation of their life, they've rejected him. The first thing that comes is confusion. That's why there's nations today that are making laws that would support lifestyles that are an abomination unto God. Any lifestyle that would leave God out of it. Any lifestyle that would say, oh, a family is formed by just two people that love each other like a man and a man or a woman and another woman. Can I say that is an abomination unto God? That's not what brings a blessing to a people. That brings a cursing to a people. We're seeing nations now today trying to define what is a gender. Can somebody say a boy is a boy? Can someone really say a girl is a girl? And they can't even be sure about their gender. You know what that is? It's confusion. Why does that confusion come? Because they've rejected the counsel of the Lord. You know what God says? He says, you know, you can get all your little philosophy and you get all your man wisdom, this earthly wisdom. And he says, you know what God will do? He'll bring it to naught. He'll bring it to nothing. There'll be no success. There won't be blessing in that nation's life. Why? Because they've rejected that counsel of the Lord. You see, when you reject, it brings no counsel. It only brings confusion. Look at verse 16 and 17. It says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Another curse that comes is not only having no counsel, but there is no safety, only corruption. You'll notice the psalmist said, you know, I've noticed in nations that have rejected God, that they might have a big host, but there's no safety there. The nation of Israel with 300 men that feared God and accepted God's word were able to defeat an army of 145,000. It wasn't because they were superior in Navy SEALs, all 300 men of them. No, I really don't believe that Gideon's army was the strongest of the men of Israel. They were just people that believed God. And when you do that, then you can bring God's blessing, not his cursing. One of the things we see in the nations that have rejected God is that there is no safety. I don't know if you've watched the news at all, but it seems like our world is on fire. Look what's happening in Venezuela, a country that is outright communist. In a communist country, they base their belief on that God does not exist. They're very much atheist nations as far as the government is concerned. The government doesn't want to teach anything of the Bible in those nations. And look at them now. They're on fire. Look at the news in the country of Nicaragua. Right now, it's boiling over. Why? There's a nation there that has rejected God. There's a nation like Russia built on communism like China, what happens? There's no safety. The people don't feel safe. The people are trying to flee, if they could, those nations and those governments. What happens? Because God's cursing comes on that nation. Then I want you to notice the third thing that happens to a nation that rejects God in verse 18 and 19. He said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." I want you to notice that the nation that has rejected God has no protection. See, God's protection, according to that verse, is reserved for those that fear him. But instead of having protection, there's only calamity. A nation that rejects God only comes to confusion. It only comes to corruption. It only comes to calamity. The secret of the success of the United States is not found in the fact that we've had great inventors. It's not really found in the fact that we have a good trade on the dollar. It's not found in our economy. It's not found in our superior military. The secret of the nation of the United States and its success is because early on in the founding of this nation, there were people that wanted to found this nation on the principles of God's word. See, they understood that Psalm 33, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." What does a nation that is blessed by him look like? What do they receive? You see in verse 13, it says, "The Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his inhabitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." One thing that God does is he looks at the nations of the world. And as he's looking for a nation that will make him their foundation, that will make him the pillar on which they build. What happens when a nation does this? Verse number 20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." What is a blessing of a nation that makes God their foundation? He becomes our help and our shield. Do you realize that in 1776, as we declared our independence and went to war with England, that England was a vast superior army than ours? Do you know that they had much more resources than we did? Did you know they had more soldiers than we did? Did you know that they had more money than we did? Do you know that they were the leading number one power in the world at that time? In fact, their power was so great and their empire was so great that they would say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. They had land in India, they had land in China, they had land all over the world, including the United States. We were going up against the world power. But something that England had forgotten was they had forgotten that God was the secret of their success. And as that generation in England rose up, they forgot God. And their nation arose here in the United States of men that said, "We'll make God the foundation of our country. We want to make our people the people of his inheritance." And they found that God could help them. Before many of the battles, George Washington, who was the general of the Army of the United States, would pray and ask God to bring providence to this nation, to work in this nation and in the battles. We never should have won the war, but God allowed it. Why? Because blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. A nation has God as the Lord receives a blessing of his help. Look at verse 21. "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." Let me tell you something. Another blessing is happiness. A nation that has built their foundation on God is a nation that finds happiness in the God, that finds happiness in their families, that has happiness in their government. Man, happiness doesn't just come because of economic prosperity. That's not where happiness comes from, but it comes from God. God is the only one that can make the heart rejoice. Many have thought that happiness is found in money. But if you've seen the news lately at all, you've seen that even the most famous and the richest here in the United States are taking their own life. They're committing suicide. Why? Because they're not happy. Because happiness isn't found in the power that you have or the money that you make. Happiness is found on the right foundation in life. See, a nation that made God its foundation found that it was a nation that had God help. It was a nation that had happiness from God. And I want you to notice the third thing that verse 22 says. It says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." The third blessing that a nation that is built upon God has is hope. Hope. Man, if there's anything that we need more today of is hope. You watch the news, and I don't care what channel you go to. You watch the news and it just seems like it's hopeless. Oh, the government's doing this. Oh, the president's doing this. Oh, the Congress is doing this. And all they want to feed you is hopelessness, hopelessness, hopelessness. And people get so scared and they get so crazy in their mind. They think that there's no hope, and they'll take a gun and they'll go into a school and just shoot up a school. Because at the end of it, who cares? There is no hope anyway. There is nothing to look forward to. They'll go into stores or they'll go into a newsroom like happened this past week. And they'll shoot up because they'll shoot the people there and murder them because, well, they just made a story that I didn't like. And there's no hope for me. There's no change for me. Let me say, a nation that's been founded upon God receives the blessing of God's help, the blessing of God's happiness, and the blessing of God's hope. You can trace all of what is happening in our nation and the decline that we've experienced to this simple truth. We're a nation that's getting away from God. I really don't know how many celebrations you'll see on TV on July 4th, this Wednesday, that will even include a prayer. I can guarantee you there won't be any that will include any kind of song praising God. There won't be anything that will bring the word of God. There won't be a person on TV that will just come and share the truth of God to the people here. And because of that, we're seeing God's blessing move away. We're seeing more confusion in our country. We're seeing more corruption in our country. We're seeing more calamity in our country. Why? Why, after so many years, over 200 years of God's blessing, why does that happen? Because there's a generation that's growing up that's not making the Bible and God its foundation. This evening, I want to remind you that the secret of our success here in America is God and God alone. That's why many at the beginning put on our coins, "In God we trust." Because he is our hope, and he is our happiness, and he is our help. I started by asking you this evening, can any nation have God's blessing? Any nation. Yes, absolutely. But it has to be a nation that chooses to make God their foundation. And let me just say, a nation is only as good as its family. The hardest thing, and the thing that's hit most tonight on television and everywhere in our media today, is the tearing down of families. Mama doesn't know anything. Dad doesn't know anything. Oh, the kids are the ones that know everything. Mom is dumb and dad is crazy. Why? Because the devil knows if he can attack the family and bring down the family, he brings down this nation. The challenge tonight and the reminder tonight is make of your family and make of this nation a nation whose founding is upon God. And you'll find in him happiness, you'll find in him help, and you'll find in him hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for this simple truth about what a nation can do to find in you success and to find the blessing.